So today it's a celebration. Who knows what we're celebrating today? Hopefully we all know. Yes.
Easter.
We're celebrating Easter. If we can have the PowerPoint up, that would be great. And these are the words that we've been saying quite a lot this morning. So hallelujah, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. And hallelujah is the equivalent of like, awesome, yippee, hooray, those kinds of things. So it's an exciting thing to be celebrating this morning. But why? Why do we celebrate Easter every year? In fact, actually, we're celebrating Easter most Sundays as we're celebrating who God is in our lives. And when we take communion, we're celebrating Easter. We're remembering the resurrection and the importance of that. Why does it matter that Jesus rose from the dead? Why does it matter? Why is that important? We're going to think a little bit about that. But this time of year, it's not just sort of Jesus we're celebrating. We've kind of got bombarded with Easter eggs and the bunny. And where does that all fit into it? Why is that become part of our celebration? What's the significance of that Easter egg? Now, I was doing a year one RE sort of lesson in the build-up to Easter, and I asked that question, and one really clever person sort of said, well, it's the shape of the stone that's in front of the tomb. I thought they've had got really good lessons here that they've picked that up. See, the egg represents the shape of the tomb, like the kind of stone shape, a round shape, not quite like my square shape here, but it would probably have been a big stone that had been rolled in front. And so we've got a whole variety of Easter eggs. We've got free from, that's free from gluten and milk, and we've got your bog standard. But the other thing that I think is important with the Easter egg, so can somebody open, do you want to open that one, Noah? Yeah. So I take it out of its box. We'll start with that one first. Because what is inside an Easter egg normally? It's hollow. It's hollow, empty, there's normally nothing in it. Do you want to break it open? It's got a hole in it, that's perfect. You can break it open from there. Put stuff in the box, put some chocolate in the box. That's it. So can you hold it up and show, do you want to stand up and show everybody? The egg is hollow, it is empty, there is nothing in it. A bit like my tomb here. It's not quite empty, but we'll get to that in a minute, but there was nobody in the tomb that first Easter. The tomb was empty. This one's slightly different. We'll open this in a bit. But why the empty tomb? Jesus had risen. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, it tells us that Jesus rose, that he appeared to Cephas, whose name was Peter. He appeared to kind of the 12 friends in the upper room. He appeared to Thomas. At one point, he appeared to 500 people all at once. So it wasn't a case that the body was taken and hidden away, but actually Jesus had risen from the dead. He wasn't there, he'd risen. But what is the importance? Why the empty tomb? Well, he's risen, and there's some significance for us as Christians. And Paul wrote in the letter to the Corinthians, I'm writing to remind you of the importance of the resurrection. It's of first importance. This message which I've received, which I've passed on to you, it's first importance that you remember that and understand it. In verse 3, it says that Jesus died for our sins. The resurrection happened because Jesus died for our sins. And it's good news that he's risen. It's that's what saved them and us. So in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he wants them to know that. And then subsequently, we've been passed on that good news that Jesus died for our sins, that we've been saved. And that's good news for us and why the resurrection is so important, so central to the Christian faith. Now we're going to explore, well, what does that mean? And we're going to look at the four F's of the resurrection this morning. And the first F we're going to look at. So in the tomb wasn't just empty of no body. All the clothes were still there. Jesus had been wrapped with linen cloth, strips of cloth, and they were left over. And so we're going to use those to think about the four F's of the resurrection. So would someone come and take this first strip of cloth? Go on, Eliza, do you want to come forward? This one there, that's it. And do you want to unravel it and read out? You might need a friend to hold the other end. Shall I help you? Let's undo that. So what does that say?
Forgiveness.
Do you want to hold that? Does someone else want to come and hold the other end? Yep, just brilliant. So the first F is forgiveness. So the resurrection, the fact that Jesus wasn't there, shows us that he defeated sin and death. He'd set people free from sin. So our kind of natural tendency is for us to kind of do our own thing, to think that we're God. We kind of get tempted to do things that we shouldn't do. Maybe we get cross really easily. Who sometimes feels it's really easy to get a bit angry and kind of lash out at kind of people? Yeah, I do too. It can be really easy to get frustrated with people, isn't it? Maybe we get bitter. Maybe life has kind of dealt us a rough hand. Life isn't always easy. It's hard times. And actually, we can kind of sometimes get bogged down with that. And we kind of think, oh no, God, I'm not interested in you. But the great thing about the resurrection is that we're forgiven from all that. Our rebellion against God is dealt with, done, and dusted. And we just have to come and go, I thank you for what you've done, Jesus. Help me to follow you. Help me to continue to live in a way that is free from rebellion against you. And Paul wanted the Corinthian church to really know this. In verse 9, he talks about how he is the least of the apostles. He talked about actually how he was really horrible to the early Christians, how he persecuted them. In the book of Acts, he was standing nearby when people really hurt Stephen and put him to death for his faith and belief. Paul knew that he needed God's forgiveness and grace. And he expresses that to the Corinthian church and tells them, I'm the least, I'm the biggest of sinners, but I know God's grace. And that's the same grace for you and the same grace for us. So as part of that, as knowing that we are forgiven on this Resurrection Sunday, we're actually going to stand in a minute and just confess our sins to God, knowing that that's why he's come, for our forgiveness. But just think about what are the kind of struggles that we might have that we want to just offer to him. Because the joy of the resurrection is that we can seek forgiveness and it is given to us. So why don't we stand and we'll say the words in white together. So Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you in sorrow for our sins and confess to you our weakness and unbelief. We have lived by our own strength, not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived by the light of our own eyes, as faithless and not believing. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Do take a seat. So the first F is forgiveness. We know forgiveness and the importance that resurrection of Jesus brings to us is forgiveness. Do you want to put that one down for a minute? Who wants to come and take the second one? Come on. We'll take that one there. That's it. Unravel it and get a friend to help you. Do you want to come help? What does it say? Friendship. So our next F is friendship. So because of our rejection of God, that it's been turned around into reconciliation. So they're big words, those are, but basically what it means is when we say to God, look, I'm sorry, like we just have done, the resurrection shows us that there's a way to then be friends with God, to have a close relationship. God doesn't want to be a distant, far off God. He's come. He sent Jesus. Jesus died on the cross and rose again so that we can have that forgiveness and have a relationship with him. Our rejection's been turned into reconciliation. And Paul had understood this in the letter that he wrote to the Corinthians. He talks about how he's received God's grace. That means love. And he knows that intimate relationship with God. See, Paul had a vision. He met Jesus on the road, and there was a bright light, and he was blinded. And he realized about his sin. He repented, so he said sorry like we've just done. And he had an encounter with Jesus that changed his life. He realized the grace that came from knowing Jesus, who was the risen Lord and King. So that is friendship. So we've got the four F's of the resurrection. The fact that we celebrate is because we're forgiven. We have God's friendship. And then the next one, do you want to put that down? So do you want to come and get, do you want to come and get one, Alice? No, you're all right. Do you want to get one? Do you want to get that one? So what does it say? Follow. Do you want someone to help you hold it, or do you think you've got long enough arms? Oh, you do have long enough arms. Brilliant. So we've got the third F is follow. So we're called to be followers. So the resurrection gives us that ability to follow Jesus' footsteps. So Jesus changed the world when he rose again. And we're called to change the world like him. We all have our part to play. We might not know that, but it's true. See, the resurrection gave us a new life in him. And so we've got a part to play in that. And I wonder how we might go about that. But actually, have you ever walked down the street and just smiled at a complete stranger? That makes someone's day. We might not know that. Have you ever walked past and seen someone sort of that's very hungry, homeless maybe? I wonder if we stop and go and get them a drink and offer God's love in that way. I know sometimes I don't. I think, oh, I'm busy, I can't do that now. But actually being a follower of Jesus, living in the resurrection, is about looking out for the other as well as for ourselves. So I wonder if we could do that. I wonder if you've ever come across friends at school who are sad, or our friends at work, or our neighbours. I wonder if we ever feel brave enough to offer prayer. It doesn't mean that people accept it, that's fine. But actually offering a prayer of God's comfort and love and peace. We might be surprised how many take us up on that. Or just offering a kind word when people are in need. And the fact that I've got us to say, he is risen indeed, hallelujah, several times this morning, is that that brings excitement. I can't help but be excited when I say those words. I don't know if that's the same for you, but it just brings me such joy. And in some ways, the resurrection, being a follower of Jesus, should fill us with that joy. To the point where we can't stop but sharing that with other people, sharing the good things that we've been given. That's all part of being a follower of Jesus. Being part of a follower of Jesus is the joy of the resurrection. Thank you. Now, do you want to put that one down? And who wants to come and grab the last one from the back? Go on. So our final F of the resurrection. I've got a bit of poetic license with this one. Read it out for me. Fantastic hope. Fantastic hope. Oh, I missed a bit, but being the follower as well, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he wanted them to stand firm. He was reminding them of the importance of remembering that we're resurrection people, that we're followers of Jesus. And he wanted the church in Corinth to hold firmly to the faith that they've received. It's the same for us as well, that we can continue holding on to the joy of the resurrection when life might deal us a rough hand, when things are difficult, that we can still have that joy, hold on to the faith, the truth of the resurrection. And then the fantastic hope, because it's not just about being a follower now, but it's the fact that there's this fantastic hope that because Jesus rose from the dead, it shows us that death is not the end. That we're to continue to take our stand because of that fantastic hope, to keep going until we're reunited with God in glory. That's the fantastic hope of the resurrection, that we have forgiveness, that we can be God's friend, that we can follow him, living good lives now, that shares him with other people, that shows love and kindness to other people. But that's not just for this life, but that's on for eternity. It's not the end, that there's eternal life, that fantastic hope. He is risen. And so we can know that joy this Easter, that we can know because of the resurrection, because there is nothing in the tomb. It is empty. Do you want to put that down for a minute? We know that he's risen. Rachel, would you open that for me? So remember, the egg was the tomb. The tomb was empty. But we were given lots of stuff from the resurrection that we are to be forgiven, that we can be forgiven, that we can receive God's friendship, that we can be followers and we can have fantastic hope. So if you break that open, and over the tomb, do you want to pour out what's there? So because of the resurrection, because of the tomb, we are released to go and share that with Jesus because he is risen. So let's say Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And because of that, because we know who God is, let's stand and say who it is we believe in. Oh, I got ahead of myself then. So let's stand to declare the Nicene Creed. Let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen. And so as we sit, let's remember that this Easter, that we have received the good news of the resurrection, and that we can share that, knowing his forgiveness, knowing his friendship, being followers of Jesus, and living to that fantastic hope that we have in him. I pray that for all of us, in Jesus' name. Amen.